This is the International Wings of Healing broadcast. You are now welcome to a time of edification, encouragement, and hope, and to announce the victory of God that will strengthen us in the face of our fragmented world and the ever-mounting challenge of our age. This ministry comes to you under the direction of Dr. Thomas Randolph White.
Almighty God, the grace creator, Almighty God, our loving Savior. His words of love that have been spoken, these truths at once shall not be broken. Strength for today.
Stay with us this morning as Sharon will read the closing discourse in the 12th chapter of Luke's Gospel. And Dr. Wyatt will relate just what our Lord desires to warn us of.
Yes, Dennis, and thank you. Our Lord would warn us that not all is peace, tranquility, and only love. God's love also requires judgment. And there is here an image of fire. I do hope you will stay with us.
I came to cast fire upon the earth, and would that it were already kindled. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how I am constrained until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division, for henceforth in one house there will be five divided, three against two, and two against three. They will be divided. Father against son, and son against father. Mother against daughter, and daughter against her mother. Mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. He also said to the multitudes, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, you say at once, 'A shower is coming,' and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, 'There will be scorching heat,' and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time?"
Thank you, Sharon, so much. What my wife has just read does seem to go counter to much of what we have been led to believe and generally taught about Jesus Christ. Remember the angelic choir sang at his birth, "On earth, peace and goodwill." He has been called the Prince of Peace. He even told those that he touched with his redemptive power to go in peace. Now we hear him say, "Do you think that I came to bring peace on earth?" No. This just seems to run counter to the general, even the universal belief that Christianity, that Jesus Christ is all about peacefulness, gentleness, even meekness, and a universal call for all to join in a wonderful, peaceful communion. Of course, I believe all of that to be true. So then what is it that Jesus is here alluding to? What is it that Jesus will use this kind of vivid description that is so at odds with the normal perceptions of what he is and our faith? It does seem that there are facets and elements of our faith that are not as simple or direct, so cut and dried as many would proclaim. Not everything seems to be sweetness and light, and it would seem there is a hard edge to Jesus Christ, and that we need to be forewarned, prepared, fully aware of all that following Jesus implies. It speaks not just to our life of following him, the difficulties, the challenges, and yes, the struggles, which will always resound to victory. But more importantly, it speaks of his calling, his ministry as prophet, priest, and king, all that he was to bring to Israel, and as well to the whole world. There is a hard edge to Jesus Christ. No prophet is acceptable in his own country. Why call me Lord and not do the things I say? Who is my mother and my brothers? Those who will follow me, let them deny themselves. I thank you, O Father, that you have hidden these things from the wise and revealed them to infants. And then the repeated woes of those who follow the Pharisees, and warnings to avoid the leaven of the same group. It is that the ministry of Jesus is far more than an ethical high note in the history of the world's religions, more than a Jewish messianic movement that accidentally somehow survived and became the religion of Europe, more than another seeker-sensitive or mystical realm of self-illumination, or a moral movement of personal salvation. It is all this and so much more. It is just that so many seem to fail to realize and thus miss the larger picture. This larger picture speaks of servants not being lax in awaiting the return of their master from a wedding feast, keeping their lamps lit, that if one were to know when the thief would try to break in, one would keep awake, that a steward would be wise to be about his duties and never take for granted that his master may be delayed. This all has historically been used to urge believers to be awaiting eagerly and always prepared for the Lord's return. But to be honest, that is too superficial and misses a deeper meaning about what it is that Jesus has already wrought and continues to bring about. As nearly all the parables of Jesus, it is about the kingdom of God. This is about God Almighty, Yahweh Himself, and He who is sent of the Father, the Messiah, the Son of Man, coming now to the people of God. He, this Jesus, has come to present the kingdom, the new covenant, the new anointing upon the children of God, not just to Jerusalem, but to the entire world. And if one is not awaiting, fully prepared, anticipating, serving the Master, doing all one can to bring service to our God, then expect the whips, and don't be surprised when judgment falls. If your lamp is not lit, you're not awaiting His knock, there will be awesome and terrible consequences to pay. This is not about His second coming, so don't spend all your time expecting at any moment the last trump. That is not what Jesus is alluding to here. This is about our life in Him, especially in our world. It speaks of what Jesus brought, God's kingdom, and what it is to mean. First, there is fire, fire that He would cast upon the earth, and what He wishes was already ablaze. And then a baptism, one that He, Jesus, must undergo, that is literally here pressing upon Him until it will be accomplished. This last is a veiled reference to a baptism which can only be that of His death on the cross, an expectation He fully is aware awaits Him. And this would naturally press upon Him until it is fulfilled or accomplished, that is, until it is over. And that is why the allusion to the fire. It is not the Holy Spirit or the baptism of fire the Baptist alluded to, but the judgment that comes with the fulfillment of His ministry. The cross is that great scandal and our redemption, and is also what sets the world ablaze. At the Jordan, when Jesus took upon Himself the load, the responsibility of the redemption of all mankind, it has sparked division and strife everywhere. Not that we desired it, want it, or seek it, but the message, the meaning of Jesus divides. Not that we want this to be the case, it just is. That is why so many want us to compromise this message, the true meaning of who and what is Jesus. The division comes because of those who reject His message, which is one of peace, joy, wonder, and life in Him. And yes, because it is so uncompromising, so real, true, and vital, It does not bring to human society peace, but division. There are always those who will reject, even become hostile and violent about Christianity. How can a God of peace send his own Son not to bring peace, but division? Obviously, this is so because we are not talking about the same kind of peace. There is a difference between spiritual peace, that inner tranquility that comes from an abiding communion with God, the sense of security and joy that arises from knowing your hope is sure in the love of Christ, what is true and real peace, and then the peace that is defined as just the absence of warfare and conflict. One, you see, is eternal and absolute. The other is fleeting, unstable, and never assured. We all would like an absence of war. Who wouldn't? But we cannot, we dare not confuse the one for the other. To do so dilutes our message, confuses the ministry of Jesus for something it is not. We become caught in the trap of pacifism, of a false search for peace on earth, instead of that peace on earth among those of goodwill, of falsely seeking a Christ who ends war instead of a Christ who brings division, or as Matthew says, brings a sword. We become those who will do anything for a false sense of peace, a peace which is transient and fleeting. We seek a kind of peace which is actually artificial and is not possible apart from Jesus Christ. We become Neville Chamberlain, who gave away Czechoslovakia on the flimsiest of promises by Adolf Hitler, and returned to England waving a piece of paper proclaiming peace in our time, when it only precipitated the dark years of World War II. Or an American president wheeling and dealing to bring to fruition what was called the Oslo Accord, pressing Israel's prime minister to accept as a partner in the peace Yasser Arafat, who made a practice of destroying nations. And as earlier in the 1940s, there has been no peace in the Holy Land and will not and cannot be. It will require the handiwork of Jesus Christ. They seek in such venues a false peace, a fleeting, temporary absence of war. But is that peace, or does conflict, anger, frustration, violence, and mayhem still proliferate? We seek the false peace at any price. We go to any length to end conflict, but conflict does not really end, because what is sought is not based in Jesus Christ. Yet we still honor the fake and the fraud. They give a great peace prize to those who rarely do aid the cause of peace. They are those who lie and paper over the horror to make it look better. But it is never peace, because the world will always be at odds with the ministry of Jesus. There will be conflict, division, and hostility. We confuse a world we hope for and wish for with the reality that confronts us. And what we all want does not come simply by wishing and hoping it will be. And especially it does not come by government legislation or senatorial debate. Our wishing, our hopes are fulfilled only in Jesus. Because in truth, the answer is Jesus. He does not bring peace. That is, unless you embrace him and all that is his life, death. And yes, that pesky idea of the bodily resurrection. Yes, in him is peace. But that does not come automatically to the world. For the world does not want Jesus. They don't want what he brings, what he is, and what it means for their lives. So there is division, the sword, even conflict. They could not see what was before them. Who was this man and what it was, this kingdom he was offering? They could read the signs of clouds in the west towards the Mediterranean Sea, which brought the storms and the rain. They understood that a south wind from the desert could literally raise temperatures 30 degrees in a few hours. All this they could understand and discern, but they could not discern the signs now in the ministry of Jesus. What was now before them, not the blind, deaf, lame, and leprous made whole, not the demons being cast out, not the loaves and fishes feeding the multitudes. None of this could they understand, for they had joined the thinking, the perceptions of those who had chosen to reject it all. They had closed their ears and eyes to what it meant, and then chose to close themselves off from the peace that can only come in Him. You see, He did come to cast fire upon the earth. It has been said that fire can do two things. It will destroy the temporary, the earthly, but it can harden, temper that which is permanent or eternal. We too often become enamored, devoted to what is only temporary, what will pass away, what the fire will destroy, instead of embracing what the fire will make of even greater worth, make it endure forever. There is a pressing need to understand the signs about us, what it is that we truly have in Christ Jesus. It is a kingdom, a reign with God for all. The fire will divide, but we are either in Jesus or we are not. We have lit our lamps or not. It is not a lack of conflict we need, but discernment. The fire, you see, is kindled. It is now ablaze. Will our works be engulfed or refined and made even harder, ready for eternity? It is all about the fire, about His judgment. O Lord, let us never be at ease, but aware that in You is the greatest challenge, always the enemy to confront, but we are assured of victory. Just that we always be prepared, ready to receive and embrace what our Lord will do. For it is all about Your kingdom on earth, as it is in heaven, all for Your glory and name forever. Amen and amen.
It is strange, even puzzling to me, how often we misunderstand the true nature of our faith. There does exist a dichotomy between those in the world and those who believe, and even a division among believers, between a faith of just comfort, ease, and joy, but one that avoids mentioning the fire and the judgment that will confront all of us. To make this reality more apparent, Dr. Wyatt is offering this week his book, Global Warning. This is a clear exposition of our Lord's warning to all who dwell on the earth. It is a book that you need to read and share it with others. Simply write and ask for Global Warning. It is yours at no charge. Dear ones, we pray that you have been touched by the Wings of Healing ministry and that even in these financially challenging times, you will consider being a part of this outreach. By supporting this ministry with a gift, large or small, you help us do and accomplish so much. Join with us in getting the Word of God out to an ailing world. Our address is Dr. Thomas R. Wyatt, Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to the Wings of Healing Society at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6J4N1. Or you can contact us on the web at www.thomasrwyatt.org. Now, before Dennis Colonna gives you those addresses one more time, here is your radio minister, Dr. Wyatt. Thomas?
Thank you, Sharon. Again, I would express my gratitude for all who write us. And as we pray one for another, and Andrew of the Bronx reports his back and leg pain is gone, and thanks God for undertaking. Now, as we close another broadcast, Dennis will provide our addresses once more.
And Rick Wickham comes with a new rendering of the song Great Things He Has Done. So until next week, do know that our God is in control.
Come let us worship our King. Come let us bow at His feet. He has done great things. See what our Savior has done. See how His love overcomes. He has done great things. He has done great things. Oh, hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. Oh, God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awakened to life. Oh, Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh, God, you have done great things.
This program is sponsored by the Wings of Healing International Ministries and is supported only by the gracious gifts from people like you. This is a ministry dedicated to the proclamation of the gospel, done with reason, clarity, and without sectarian confusion. Please do write and remember that to stay on this station, Dr. Wyatt needs to hear from you. As always, CDs of these programs are available, and this week Dr. Wyatt is offering his book, Global Warning. This book will further highlight just what our Lord has warned us about. That as we esteem the rebellious, celebrate and worship the bizarre, it only leads to destruction. You need to read this book, Global Warning.
This week, it is yours at no charge. Our addresses are Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to Dr. Wyatt at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6J4N1. Or you may contact the ministry at www.thomasrwyatt.org. This is Dennis Colonna asking you to please tune in again next week at this same time. And remember what God has promised to those who love Him.